We want to study the 23rd Psalm again this evening, and I'd like to ask you to open there, if you would, Psalm 23. We have been memorizing this psalm together, or at least we're going to start, and I forgot to mention last time that we're going to do the King James Version. That's probably a good thing to tell you since there's so many of them out. The reason I chose that is because that's the one I already know it in, and that's probably the one most of you already know it in. And so we're going to make it easier on ourselves. Plus, I don't believe any translation matches the beauty of the King James in this psalm, Psalm 23. Let's say it together, shall we? Well, at least we'll say the first two verses. Now, I ask you to work ahead. And how many of you worked ahead? That's exactly what I thought. All right, let's try it together. Ready? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. Now that's good. That's two verses. There are only six, so we're 30% through. And I hope as we memorize it together, it'll be a blessing to you. Now last week we began by talking about that very first phrase, the Lord is my shepherd. And my wife, bless her heart, said to me this past week, she said, could I give you a piece of advice? Which being interpreted always means, sit down. So I did, and I said, sure, go ahead, dear. she said, you know what? She said, last week, she said, I really enjoyed that message, the Lord is my shepherd. She said, but it just seemed like to me you stretched it out more than you needed to. And I said, well, yeah, maybe you're right, but there was so much there. I said, I'll hurry this week. I'll try to get a lot more in. Well, I did try. And you know how much I got done this week? I shall not want. That's it. Now, I tried. I really did. You'll see in the bulletin, I even put in the title, Green Pastures and Still Waters, in the hopes I was going to get that far. But I didn't, because there's too much here, and I can't see hurrying over something as rich as this. Now, if I prolong it maybe a little bit, and it seems like I'm putting too much in, well, I'm sorry, but folks, I'll tell you, there is so much richness here. I want us to really dwell on it, and I trust you, along with my wife, will be patient with me, okay? Bless her heart. Okay. Now, let's go back and review what we talked about last week. We talked about the Lord is my shepherd, and we said there were two key words here, the word my and the word shepherd, right? And we emphasize that the first word, my, conveys the idea that this is an intensely personal, intensely intimate relationship that David is talking about with Almighty God. A relationship in which there is no doubt. He doesn't say, I hope the Lord would be my shepherd, or I wish the Lord would be my shepherd. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. He knew it for certain. A relationship that begins when I decide that I'm going to make myself his sheep. That's when it starts. When I decide that I am going to cast myself on the blood of Jesus as payment for my sin, and when I decide I am going to surrender my life 100% to his lordship, then I qualify to become one of his sheep. And everybody who volunteers to be a sheep and is willing to meet the qualifications, God is tickled pink to get more sheep. He loves sheep. He'll take as many as he can get, as many as will come to him. And then we moved on to talk about the word shepherd. And as I shared with you, this is a word pregnant with meaning, especially to these people who would have been reading it in the days where shepherds were common and everybody would have known the things that we don't know about shepherds. So we went back and talked about shepherds. And I told you there were three things about shepherds that are so important. Number one, a shepherd takes the total responsibility for his sheep, for everything in their lives. Number two, a shepherd commits himself to a self-sacrificing love and concern for the sheep's welfare above his own. And third and finally, a shepherd agrees to an intimate relationship with sheep. In other words, he agrees to be vulnerable. He agrees to open himself up and let the sheep get to know him. Jesus said, I know my sheep and I am known by them. Almighty God, when He takes us on as His sheep, does these things. He takes total responsibility for our lives. He agrees to put our welfare as the number one goal in His life. And number three, He agrees to open Himself up and let us in to explore who and what God is. And the only reason God does all of this is because of grace. You don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. You can't merit it. Neither can I. There's not a thing we could do to talk God into this. The only reason He offers us this kind of a relationship is because He loves us and because of His grace. And thank God for it. Now, I want to go on this week, and I want to talk to you about the next phrase, I shall not want. Let me tell you, first of all, that the Hebrew word here translated want literally means to lack or to be in want. It doesn't mean that I don't want anything. It means that I don't have any needs that aren't met. I don't have any areas of my life where I am lacking. There is nothing that I ever need that my shepherd will not provide for me. That's what David's really saying. And it's not just a statement for the present. He's not just saying right now I have all my needs met, but it really is a declaration for the future, a confident declaration that there will never be a time, because God is my shepherd, there will never be a time that I need something that God is not going to supply. Now, you know, it's very interesting to me that David did not think up this phrase, shall not want. You know that? He was not the first one to come up with this phrase for expressing how God treats His people. As a matter of fact, back way back in Deuteronomy chapter 2, it says this: these 40 years the Lord has been with thee, thou hast lacked nothing. Same word. And also in Deuteronomy 8, Moses says, in the promised land thou shalt not lack anything. Same word. And I believe as David wrote this, in his mind were those phrases out of the book of Deuteronomy, and that's where he decided to use this Hebrew term. Now, I think that's neat, because what it tells me is that David read the Bible, and David knew the Word of God, and David had studied the Word of God well enough to have picked up that phrase from the book of Deuteronomy and used it. You know something else? This is not the only time David uses the phrase. In fact, in Psalm 34, if you want a psalm that really goes along well with Psalm 23, you learn Psalm 34. It says in Psalm 34, verse 10, the young lions do lack, same word, and suffer hunger, but they who seek the Lord shall not lack, same word, any good thing. What does that tell me? It tells me not only did David read the Bible and know it, but it tells me that David had let the Bible affect the way he thought. Because it wasn't just a casual mistake that he used this word or that he used this phrase, but it had affected the very way he looked at life, because he used it other times. Now, those are kind of an aside, but I thought those were really interesting. Let's go back to Psalm 23 now. This expression, I shall not want, is really the keynote of the whole psalm. The whole rest of Psalm 23 is simply an expanding upon, a drawing out, an amplification of this phrase, I shall not want. And then David takes five verses to tell us all the different ways in which God will make sure that I don't want. Now, you might say, does that to say that I'll never have trouble? Is that to say I'll never have failure or crises or heartache or danger in my life? Is that what David's saying? And the answer is no, absolutely not. God's sheep will face all kinds of adversity in life, just like sheep in the open country face adversity. And they do. David's sheep faced adversity, didn't they? They faced the lion, you remember? And they faced the bear. And David himself said, Psalm 34, many are the afflictions of the righteous. The difference is not that there will be no danger for God's sheep, but the difference is not the absence of affliction, but the presence of the great shepherd. That's the difference. For these sheep, when they face danger, they will have the great shepherd there to help them. And the great shepherd many times will help them avoid the danger. Many other times when we find ourselves in the middle of the danger, the great shepherd comes and rescues us. And he has two ways of rescuing us. Sometimes he takes us out of it, immediately picks us up and carries us right out. That's what David said, Psalm 34. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and delivered him out of all his troubles. Picked him up, carried him out. There's another way, however, God rescues his sheep. That is, sometimes he takes us through the danger, providing a supernatural presence and a supernatural comfort and an inner strength to see us through, like the little child who's got a big, big thing coming, a big test, a big tryout for Little League, a big rehearsal, a big performance and recital. They've got to go through it. But there can be the presence of the mom or the presence of the daddy, holding a hand and reassuring and encouraging and providing everything that's needed to soothe away the anxiety. Sometimes God knows there's a need to go through it, but he's right there next to us. As David said, Psalm 34, I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from my fears. He didn't deliver me from the situation, but he delivered me from my fears. It's the shepherd's option, folks. Who decides whether I go through it or whether I go around it? Hey, that's the shepherd's option. But I'll tell you something. Either way, the shepherd's promise is the same. I shall not want. Whatever I need to get through or to go around, God's going to provide for me. Now, that's what David's really saying here. Whatever I need, that's what God's going to provide. Now, I thought it would be good to go through the scripture and look at some of the provisions that God offers us. You know what I mean? In other words, what are some of the promises? What are some of the areas where the good shepherd promises to meet the needs of his sheep? And I've got seven. You say, seven? Good night. They're short. I promise you they're short. All right? Take my word for it. And I know I haven't got a lot of credibility, but I'm telling you they're short. Really. Stick with me. I want to give you seven promises or seven areas of provision where God has made us absolutely a commitment we shall not want. Ready? We're going to go fast. I told you. I don't want you to get snowed in. Number one, how does God provide for our needs and make sure we don't want? Number one, God promises to protect his sheep. I shall not want for protection because God's going to protect me. He is my shepherd. How does God protect me? Oh, there's many ways God protects me. The first way God protects me is by keeping me together with the other sheep. You know when a sheep is in most danger is when it's separated from the fold. We just heard it sung about tonight, the 90 and 9. Jesus, Matthew chapter 9, said they were faint and scattered abroad like sheep having no shepherd. When there is no shepherd around, sheep scatter. They go all over the place, and when they scatter, they become vulnerable to the predator. Ezekiel 34, my sheep were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. And the first way God protects us, folks, is by keeping you and me on the narrow way, by convicting us of sin, by keeping us close to home, by keeping us to the rest of the sheep, by convicting us of the need to keep short accounts, because the closer we are to him and the closer we are to the other sheep, the safer we are. But sometimes, even in spite of that, we have a tendency to wander, you know that, and get ourselves in trouble. Or sometimes the predator comes right into the flock. You can be with all the sheep and the predator comes in anyway. That happens. What does God do in those times? Oh, in those times, God leaps in to defend his sheep. I love what David said. David said, when I was guarding my father's sheep and there came a lion or a bear and took a lamb right out of the flock, came right in and right under my nose took it. Listen, he said, I went out after him. I got up and I went out after the lion and I went out after the bear and I delivered the lamb out of his mouth and I slew both the lion and the bear. That's what a good shepherd does. John 10, I am the good shepherd. Listen, the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But the hireling, the one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches them and scatters them. The hireling flees because he's a hireling, and the sheep are not his. Listen, but I am the good shepherd. And the contrast is real. Jesus said, when the wolf comes, I'm not going to flee. I'm the shepherd. And when the wolf comes, I'm going to hang in there and I'm going to fight the wolf off the sheep. Why? Because these are my sheep. I'm the shepherd. I'm going to protect my sheep. Folks, I want to say something to you. The good shepherd protects his sheep at all cost. And I want to tell you, there's never a situation you'll ever be in, physically in danger, emotionally in danger, spiritually in danger, where if you as God's sheep will look to the shepherd, where he will not jump in and defend you. He'll do it. Why? Because you're one of his sheep. And the good shepherd defends his sheep. Ezekiel 34, therefore, thus saith the Lord God, I will save my flock, and they shall not be a prey. They shall dwell safely within the wilderness and sleep in the woods, and no one shall make them afraid. That's God's promise to his sheep. He protects his sheep. Number two, God's sheep won't want, because not only does he protect them, but he guides them. God guides his sheep every day. You know, the shepherds would lead their flocks out in the morning. They would lead them around all day. They would lead them back in at night every single day. The sheep would look to the shepherd to guide them step by step. And every single day, the shepherd would provide that kind of guidance. In fact, in Numbers 27, and I don't want you to turn there, but where Moses is about to die, he says this. He says, let the Lord, the God of all spirits, set a man over the congregation, who may go out before them and who may go in before them and who may lead them out and who may bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord be not as sheep that have no shepherd. Moses understood that what a shepherd does is lead sheep in, lead sheep out, lead them all around and take care of them. And if you're one of God's sheep, I want to say to you, the second promise God gives is not only to protect you, but God promises this kind of daily guidance to you. When you're at the crossroads, when you need to make decisions, when you're perplexed and you don't know what to do and you need wisdom, God promises he's going to give it. Psalm 32, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you shall go. I will guide you with mine eye. Isaiah 30, and your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. How many times, if you've been a Christian any length of time, have you gotten on your knees and said, Lord, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. And how many times has not God shown you? That's what the good shepherd does every day for every one of his sheep. Number three, God not only protects his sheep and guides his sheep, but number three, God provides daily bread for his sheep. He does. Isaiah 40 says this, verse 11. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. You know, as I read those words, I think of that hauntingly beautiful melody just before the close of part one, just before the intermission in Messiah. Some of you who were there or who sang know it. And the alto and the soprano stand and they sing. The first one sings, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. And then the soprano comes in and sings with great tenderness, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Oh, I think, in my opinion, that is the most gripping part of all the Messiah. And it's based on the promise of God. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. Psalm 34. O fear the Lord, all ye saints, for there is no lack to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. The good shepherd always makes sure the sheep have the food they need, the water they need, the material possessions they need. You know, when I was first a Christian, I decided I was going to go hitchhiking. As a student down in Chapel Hill, and I'd always wanted to hitchhike around the country, and I'd never had the nerve, too afraid. You know, I'd seen Easy Rider where they blow these guys away with the shotguns, and I said, hey, man, I'm not going out there. But now I knew I was saved, and now I knew I was going to heaven. I had no wife, I had no children, I had no job, I had no responsibilities. All I had was a dog. And I thought, if I'm ever going to do it, now's the time to do it. So I sold everything I had, bought a knapsack, bought a sleeping bag, put everything I owned in my backpack, carried my dog's food in his bowl. That took up half my knapsack. I carried some granola, and I carried some condensed milk that all I had to do was find water, and I could eat, and off I went. I left Chapel Hill, North Carolina, with $5 in my pocket. That was it. And I hitchhiked all around. I had tracks with me. I decided I was going to be a missionary on the road. And everybody's car I got in, I gave them tracks and tried to share the Lord with them. And I'll tell you, folks, we were together in that car sometimes for hours. And the only thing they could do is stop and kick me out. And I had this big German Shepherd in the back seat. You know what I'm saying? And I had some great opportunities to share Christ. You wouldn't believe it. You know, I ended up in Washington, D.C. about 6 months later. I'd been on the road for 6 months. I had not worked one single day. And I ended up in Washington, D.C. 6 months later with $5 in my pocket. And I had not missed one meal in 6 months. Say, where'd they come from? Man, you name it, that's where they came from. They came from everywhere. I had people give me money. I had people take me in and buy me meals. I don't know, it just happened. God fed me. You know, that was a great experience for me. It really was. Because I'm still not real good at walking by faith sometimes. And to just get out there on the road and say, Lord, I got nothing but my dog. And if it gets really bad, Lord, I can eat dog food. But sooner or later, the dog food's going to run out. And Lord, I'm going to put you to the test here. Can you meet the needs of your sheep? And he did, folks. Now, maybe you've never been in a situation quite that dramatic. But I'm telling you something. I may not possess all I'd like, but I'll never want for what I need to eat as one of God's sheep. That's his promise. Listen to David's testimony. I have been young and now I am old. Psalm 37. Yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. Some of you have been right on the verge. Hey, but God always met your need, didn't he? He always put food on the table. And listen to Moses' testimony, Deuteronomy 8. He said, I've led you these 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes have not become old upon you. Your shoes have not become old on your feet. Neither have your feet swelled these 40 years. And Nehemiah goes on to say about this, God gave them manna for their mouth and water for their thirst. Yea, for 40 years did God sustain them in the wilderness so that they lacked nothing. Folks, God makes the same promise to you and me. You know that, don't you? He says, look, therefore I say unto you, don't be anxious about what you're going to eat, what you're going to put on, and what you're going to wear. You seek first the kingdom of God. I know you need all those things. And all those things will be added unto you. And every born-again Christian here, I believe tonight, can testify along with David and Moses and Nehemiah that God can give daily bread from supernatural, unseen sources. I was at a home last night and heard a man give a testimony about how at Christmas time one year, somebody, he didn't even know who it was, stuck $50 in a book. Every one of us who've been a Christian much time have had something like that happen, haven't we? When it was really needed. God feeds his sheep. They shall not want. Number four. I love this one. God bears the weak sheep in his arms. God carries the weak sheep in his arms. God takes care of the feeble and takes care of the lame. Isaiah 40 says, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. And listen to what it says. And he shall gather the lambs with his arms and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those who are with young. You know, there are two categories of sheep that have trouble keeping up. You know what they are? Very simple. They're the lambs and the pregnant. Now, you may never have been a lamb, but ladies, if you've ever been pregnant, you know it's hard to keep up, right? Everybody else moving at a pace, and it's hard to keep up. And these are the kinds of sheep that Isaiah 40 says God takes a special interest in and a special concern for. It says he bears the lambs in his arms and carries them next to his bosom when they can't keep up. And he gently leads with sensitivity the ones that are with young. Ezekiel 34 says he binds up the wounded sheep and strengthens the sick sheep. And I wonder how many times at night David wouldn't have looked out of his window in Jerusalem and seen a shepherd coming in from the field carrying a lamb or two in his arms because that lamb got too tired and just couldn't make it. So he picks him up and carries him. Or how many times that shepherd might have stopped and just given those sheep that were carrying young a little chance to rest, gently leading, sensitively leading, because they needed the rest. And you know, every one of us here, from time to time, I don't care how long we've been a Christian, we fit into this category. Man, you may have been a Christian for years and years and years, and you may be a strong Christian. But there are times where circumstances strike and you're right back to being a lamb again and you can't keep up. Those are the times the shepherd, how many times hasn't he picked you up and carried you when you couldn't keep up? You know, I love that little poem entitled Footsteps. You know that poem? Let me paraphrase it for you. It says, I was a lonely wanderer and I was walking down the beach. And I looked back up the beach and I looked at, it was like my history of my life. And there were two sets of footprints in the sand as the Lord walked with me, right beside me. But then the dreamer says, there were the times I looked back where the things were the roughest and the things were the hardest and the things were the most miserable. And then there was only one set of footprints in the sand. And so I turned to the Lord and I said, Lord, as I look back here, why was it when I really needed you? Why was it when it was really tough that I only see one set of footprints in the sand? Why did you leave me then? And God said to him, you know what? He said, oh, my child, he said, those were the times I carried you. And folks, that's what a good shepherd does for the lambs. When they need to be carried, he carries them. That's what God's willing to do for you. When you feel like a pregnant sheep, folks, when you feel like a little lamb that just can't keep up, let me tell you what to do. You tell Jesus you want to hop in his arms, and he'll carry you. That's what a shepherd does. Number five. See, I told you this was going to go fast. You didn't believe me. Number five. You know something else the good shepherd does so that sheep don't want? He seeks out lost sheep. Boy, I love that about the shepherd. He goes looking for them. Ezekiel 34 says, for thus says the Lord God, behold, even I will search for my sheep, and I will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock in the day that his sheep are scattered, so I will seek out my sheep. And I will deliver them out of all the places where they have been scattered. Jesus is the good shepherd who, Matthew 18, leaves the 99 and goes into the mountains, the Bible says, seeking the sheep that has gone astray. And Luke chapter 15 says he seeks it until he finds it. He doesn't give up, folks. He looks for it till he finds it. And then when he has found it, he puts it on his shoulders. Listen, rejoicing, rejoicing. May I say to you that if you're one of God's sheep, one thing you can be absolutely sure of, and that is when you've wandered away into sin, my dear friend, the shepherd is going to come looking for you. He's going to come looking for you. When David wandered away into adultery, David did not go looking for God. God, through the prophet Nathan, came looking for David. And he found him. And how about Lot? When he wandered down into Sodom, Lot did not come looking for God. God went looking for Lot. And he found him. And how about Peter? Man can identify with old Peter. Here he has denied the Lord, blown it, cursed, done all the things he shouldn't have done. And in John chapter 21, he says to his friends, hey, I'm going fishing. I had it with this. I've blown it. I've washed out. I'm never going to make a disciple. I'm going back to fishing. That's what I know how to do. And it's very interesting that in John chapter 21, Peter is no longer in Jerusalem, is he? He's back up at the Sea of Galilee. And folks, if you were here for my slideshow and all my deficient maps, you know the Sea of Galilee is a long way from Jerusalem. He had gone home. This man had gone home. He'd given up the idea of being a disciple. And who was it that came looking for whom? Peter didn't go looking for Jesus, did he? No, Jesus came looking and found Peter. Folks, let me tell you something. Every one of us who are Christian have been here. Every one of us who know Jesus have been right where Peter was. We've been there. Thank God for the voice of the Good Shepherd calling out in the night our name as he comes out to look for us. And if we're willing to repent and deal with him, man, he picks us up on his shoulders and takes us home rejoicing because I found my sheep. Why won't I want? Because even when I try to go get lost, God comes looking for me and finds me. Even when I don't want to be found sometimes, he comes looking for me and he finds me anyway. And even when I don't want to talk to him, I don't want to know from him, I don't want to hear from him, he comes knocking on the door anyway, folks, and says, let me pick you up and carry you home. You'll be much happier there. Thank God for a shepherd who comes looking for his sheep. Number 6. I shall not want because the shepherd knows each sheep personally. I like that. John chapter 10 says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep. And in John chapter 10, it also says, my sheep hear my voice and I know them. And 2 Timothy chapter 2 says, the seal of the Lord stands sure, and this is its foundation, that the Lord knows them that are his. A good shepherd, you know what? Knows every one of his sheep individually. Every sheep's got a different personality. Every sheep has its own peculiarities and its own eccentricities. And a good shepherd learns every sheep individually, learns their quirks, learns their weird things, and learns how to handle each sheep individually. He doesn't handle one sheep the way he handles another sheep because they're different. And may I say to you that the good shepherd does the same thing for us. He knows every one of us through and through. He knows our likes and our dislikes. He knows our weaknesses and our strengths. He knows all of our wrinkles, folks. And he knows just what each one of us needs in order for our potential for God to be maximized. He mixes up a formula, a prescription, unique for you. And he adds a little bit of trial, and a little bit of testing, and a little bit of success, and a little bit of joy, and a little bit of failure, and a little bit of heartache. And he mixes it up, and it's not anybody else's prescription, it's yours, because he knows you. And he knows you uniquely. And he never makes a mistake. He never gives you anybody else's prescription. And he never gives anybody else's yours. He gives them individually. You know what that means? That means we can trust him. That whatever he sends your way, he knows what he's doing. He didn't make a mistake. The pharmacist didn't get yours mixed up with somebody else's. No, he sent yours because he knows that's what you need. And we can trust him. I shall never want because God knows me and everything about me, and he knows just what I need. Number 7, and finally, not only does he protect his sheep and guide his sheep, not only does he feed his sheep every day and care for his tender sheep, not only does he come looking for us and not only does he know us, but 7th and finally, God ministers to his sheep supernaturally. Now here's where the correspondence to the earthly shepherd, we've got to leave it. Because an earthly shepherd can't do some of the things God does for his sheep. You know what Jesus said? He said, I know my sheep, they follow me, and I give them eternal life. Now an earthly shepherd can't do that, but God does it for his sheep. God also says that he delivers his sheep from the fear of death, Hebrews chapter 3. Now, an earthly shepherd can't do that, but God can because he's a supernatural shepherd. And God, you know what? As a supernatural shepherd, can give grace and strength and power that is supernatural. Deuteronomy 33, as thy days, so shall thy strength be. 2 Corinthians 12, my grace is sufficient for thee. Now these are the kinds of things I think a shepherd would love to give his sheep if he could. He'd love to give them eternal life. He'd love to deliver them from the fear of death. He'd love to be able to give them supernatural strength. But he's just a human shepherd. Don't you thank God we don't have a human shepherd? I thank God we've got an eternal supernatural shepherd. And he does these things for his sheep too. He meets their needs. Let me summarize and say this. When God promises you, you shall not want, folks, he means what he says. And he knows what he means. God, in all of the breadth and the meaning and the depth and the assurance of that phrase, I shall not want, God says he's going to back that up with his own character of being God. And may I challenge you that you can build your life on that promise, I shall not want. And you can build your children's life on that promise. And you can build your children's children's life on that promise, that God's sheep shall not want as long as God is God. I thank God 3,000 years after David wrote it, that promise is just as good. Spurgeon said this, and with this I'm done. He said, let them say that want to, my lands, my money, my possessions, my weapons, my talents, my abilities, my cleverness, my education, or my power shall keep me, I shall not want. But for those who choose to say the Lord is my keeper, they and they alone shall know the reality, I shall not want. And may I challenge you this evening? Every one of us in this life want to know that we're not going to have needs that go unmet. In a world that's so full of upheaval and uncertainty, we want an anchor for the soul. Jesus said, for my people have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and have made for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Folks, I want to challenge you. Don't you accept a broken cistern? Power, money, fortune, fame, abilities, education, possessions, they're broken cisterns. They don't hold water. The Bible says, they who trust in the Lord shall be like Mount Zion, which cannot be removed but abides forever. You want fountains of living water? You want to be able to have an anchor that holds the soul and where you can confidently say, I shall not want. Let me tell you where to plant that anchor, folks. You plant it 100% in Jesus. Don't you plant it in anything else. You plant it in the great shepherd. Let it dig in there good. And it'll hold you when nothing else will. David said, some trust in chariots, some trust in horses. But I will not trust in my bow, neither shall my sword save me. I will not put confidence in man, but I will trust in the name of the Lord my God. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You take that for the motto of your life, and you will not want. That's the promise of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the great promises that you have delivered to us this evening. Lord, thank you so much that we can build our lives on that simple verse, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Lord, thank you that we can build our children's lives on that verse. And thank you that we can build our grandchildren's lives and our great-grandchildren's lives. And should you tarry, Lord, we can build for generation after generation on that simple truth that when we are looking to you and trusting in you and relying upon you alone to be our shepherd, to be the anchor for our soul, we have the promise of Almighty God. I shall not want. And oh God, I pray for your people tonight. Many of us here, I'm afraid, Lord, have been duped by this world into relying upon broken cisterns that don't hold water. Lord, may we be willing to give them up tonight. Whether it's education, power, prestige, money, our jobs, our abilities, it doesn't matter. And Lord, may we trade all of them in for the very simple, simple approach to life that says, Jesus is my shepherd, and that's all I need. That's all I need. Father, minister to our hearts. Give us a renewed confidence in you. Give us a joy that comes from knowing what you've promised us, Lord. And when we're in danger, Lord, may we look to you to protect us. And Lord, when we're in great need for daily provision, may we look to you to provide for us, Lord. Lord, when we're hurting, and maybe we just can't keep up, it seems like, Lord, in the rough times, may we look to you to carry us, God. And Father, in those times, I pray, when we need the assurance of the shepherd, may we look for you to do that, Lord. Whatever it may be that we need, may we look to Jesus as the anchor for our soul. Father, thank you for speaking to us tonight. Renew our confidence in you. Renew it, Lord, and strengthen it tonight. May we believe you, Lord. May we believe what you tell us and trust you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.